ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरे। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नहीं, नॉट। विल स्टार्ट विद द ट्रांसलेशन डायरेक्टली। नहीं, नॉट। तेषाम ऑफ देम। कल्याणम हु आर बाय द नेचर ऑस्पिशियस। प्रभावती एबल टू इन्फ्लुएंस। कुतश्चन फ्रॉम एनीवेयर। मृत्यु डेथ। विना एक्सेप्ट। भागवत तेजसा ऑफ द एनर्जी ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड। चक्र अपे देशत फ्रॉम दैट वेपन नेम्ड द सुदर्शन चक्र। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपेट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। दे लिव वेरी ऑस्पिशियसली and do not fear death from anything, but death establishes time, which is the effulgence of the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, purport. This is the defect of the material existence. Everything in the subterranean heavens is very nicely arranged. They are well-situated residential quarters, there is a pleasing atmosphere, and there are no bodily inconvenience or mental anxieties. But nevertheless, those who live there have to take another birth according to the karma. Persons whose mind are dull cannot understand this defect of a materialistic civilization aiming at the material comforts. One may make his living conditions very pleasing for the senses, but despite all the favorable condition, one must in the due course of time meet the death. The members of a demonic civilization endeavor to make their living conditions very comfortable, but they cannot check the death. The influence of the Sudarshan Chakra will not allow their so-called material happiness to endeavor. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanam Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते। गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी। वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। नित्यानंदमहं नौमि सर्वानंदकरं परं हरिनामप्रदं देवं अवधूता शिरोमणिं। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते। कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरतिष्वे नमः। आनंदलीलामय विग्रहाय हेमांबदिव्य छवि सुंदराय तस्मै महाप्रेम रसा प्रदाय चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Today is very auspicious day. Today is the appearance day of Srila Vedavyas, which we also called as the Vyas Puja. And today is also the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. So I would like to start my class with the glories glorifying Srila Vedavyas, and then we'll proceed towards the shloka. Srila Vedavyasji is the 17th incarnation of Lord Krishna. And he is the son of Satyavati and Brahmarshi Parashar Muni. 5,000 years ago, after Lord Krishna's departure for the spiritual world, Srila Vyasadeva had a vision for the future of the society. He saw, since he was a Trikal Darshi, he saw the depth of ignorance and the spiritual bankruptcy as we are now experiencing. The spiritual values which were there earlier in the three yugas are not present currently, but by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have some special exemption here currently. Feeling concern for the welfare of the humanity, Vedavyas recorded the Vedas, which up to that time, during his time, was passed down from guru to disciple by oral tradition. There was no written scripture earlier. But as he saw the future, he understood the need of writing a written scripture. So formally, there was only the Veda named as Yajur. And then later on, Vedavyasji divided the Vedas into four parts, which were Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharva. Then he entrusted these four Vedas to his disciples. He entrusted Riga Veda to Pelli Rishi. He entrusted Sama Veda to Jaimini Rishi. He entrusted Yajur Veda to Vaishampayana Rishi. And he entrusted Atharva Veda to Sumantu Muni Angira. And then these disciples, they further divided the Vedas into four parts. Riga Veda was divided into 21 branches. Yajur Veda was divided into 1,000 branches. Sam Veda was divided into 1,000 branches, and Atharva Veda was divided into 9 branches. So each of these branches has 4 subdivisions. Each of these branches had 4 subdivisions in it, in each branch. And which were called as Samhita, Brahman, Aranyaka and Upanishad. Each of these branch. So all together the Vedas consist of 1,130 Samhitas. It has 130 Brahmana, it has 130 Aranyakas, and it has 130 Upanishads. So a total of 4,520 titles. But, by the influence of the time, however, many texts have been lost. And at present, only 11 Samhitas are available, 18 Brahmanas are available, 7 Aranyakas are available, and only 220 Upanishads are available. That means, this constitutes less than 6% of the original Vedas. Only 6%. Then he compiled Puranas and Mahabharata, especially for the people of the current age Kali. And he entrusted that section to Romaharshan Rishi, the father of Suta Goswami. All these learned scholars, in their turn, means all these disciples of Vedavyas, in their turn, entrusted their work to their disciples, to their grand disciples, and in this way, the respective branches of the followers of the Vedas came into being. All this, we are getting this Vedas through this succession. Still, after doing such a huge work, such a huge and big and voluminous work, Srila Vedavyasji was unsatisfied in the heart. He was understanding that something is lacking. He was not getting the satisfaction in his heart. Then, by the will of Lord, Srila Narad Muni came to him and pointed out that although Vedavyas has performed a great hard endeavor and took a great labor by compiling the Vedas, he had encouraged people to progress. He has only encouraged people by doing only four things. Three things. Fruitive activity, speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Nowhere he had explained, nowhere had explained in a direct and systematic manner the glories of pure devotional service in his writings. There was a description of Lord Krishna's pastimes, but nowhere there was a direct description. Nowhere there was a description of glories of the pure devotional service. Nowhere it was clearly told that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, everything has to be given up for his pleasure and one has to perform pure devotional service. Then Narada told Vyasa that if he could compile a work, now Narada is instructing Srila Vyasa that if he could compile a work exclusively giving attention to the glories of unlimited supreme personality of Godhead in a very uncompromising manner, do not compromise any Siddhanta, and Naraji told that if you do that, that will relieve your distress. That means Naraji is telling us that if we take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will be freed from our all kinds of dissatisfaction, all kinds of distress and everything. Srila Vyasa determined, he was very determined to fulfill the orders of his spiritual master Narad Muni. He sat in the trance of devotion. He fully realized the absolute truth personality of Godhead, and he also realized his multifarious potencies and activities. And based on this direct experience which Vedavyasi got about Lord Krishna and his different energies and potencies, based on this direct experience, he composed his final, literally masterpiece, the Srimad Bhagavatam. As a kavya, poetic literature, it is a superb accomplishment. There can be no such kavya or poetic literature which can be compared to Srimad Bhagavatam. And as a work of philosophy, it is unsurpassed and unparalleled. One finds that all the philosophies and religions, religious systems of the world are reconciled in the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is there in this 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of all the Vedic wisdom is in this final composition of Vedavyas. And this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, is not just a book. It is the book incarnation of Lord Krishna. It is the Krishna himself present in the form of his book. This is an incarnation. And the Vaishnavas, we claim that if one knows the Bhagavatam, nothing remains to be known. And this statement is not an overstatement. This is the truth. That if one knows Bhagavatam, he knows everything. There is nothing left for him to know. Srimad Bhagavatam elevates a sincere student beyond the abstract philosophy to the direct realization of the absolute truth. And even an illiterate person, even a person who is not so educated, if he only hears Srimad Bhagavatam from a qualified speaker, he will understand the absolute truth. Only by hearing. There is no need that one has to know Sanskrit, one has to know English, one has to know. Only if he knows basic language, he can understand the absolute truth. And hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam frees one from all the kinds of fears, all the kinds of illusion, and all the kinds of lamentation. Srila Vedavyasi, he had so many disciples. But he gave Bhagavatam only to Shukdeva Goswami. I have read somewhere, but I cannot present you the Pramana. I read somewhere, I don't remember, but Vedavyasji actually prayed for Lord Krishna that there should be somebody who can preach the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, because he already prepared, compiled the Bhagavatam on the orders of Narad Muni, but there should be somebody who should be able to recite the Bhagavatam. So he prayed, and then he got Shukdeva Goswami. Vyas did not give this Bhagavatam just because he was partial towards his son. He is my son. He should be my uttaradhikari. He should get all my wealth. No, he had no such intentions. Because Shukdeva Goswami was Atmavatam Varam, the best of all the realized souls. He was the best of all the realized souls. In other words, he could understand the purports of the essence of Vedas, the Vedantas and the Itihasas. He understood everything. Sukhdev Goswami was best to understand. He understood everything. And he had no material attachments. We have description in the Srimad Bhagavatam where when Sukhdev Goswami, when he came out of the womb, he started walking towards the forest and he was naked. And even when he was walking, he saw some ladies who were taking bath, but he was not disturbed by them. So he had no material attachment and thus had no motive. He has no desire to start something, to make any changes into the Bhagavatam. He had no motive to adulterate the pure message of the Bhagavatam under any pretext. He has no intention. Srila Vedavyasji knew that he was a pure-hearted soul. He was the best of all the realized souls. And Sukhdev Goswami mastered this subject matter and become an expert reciter of the glories of Lord Krishna. There was no one as perfect as Sukhdev Goswami. When the time came when Maharaj Parikshit, once Maharaj Parikshit was in a forest and hunting, at that time he was very thirsty and he happened to go to an ashram of a rishi, where the rishi was sitting in tapasya, was meditating on the Supreme Lord, but Maharaj Parikshit, he misunderstood it and thought he was pretending. So, and since the king was hungry and thirsty, he was upset. And to teach a lesson to the rishi, there was a dead snake which was lying there. So he picked up the dead snake and put it in the neck of the rishi. So that rishi got very upset. The rishi didn't got very upset. The rishi was in the meditation. He didn't know anything. This was seen by some of the friends of his son. And then this was reported to his son. Sringi, right? Sringi. Sringi, as soon as he heard, his father might have told him the glories of Maharaj Parikshit, that Maharaj Parikshit is not only a king, but he is also a devotee of the Lord. He is the devotee, he is that devotee of the Lord who was then saved by Lord Krishna personally in the womb. When Kunti Maharani was glorifying the Supreme Lord, at that time, to stop Krishna from going to Dwarka, that time Uttara came running towards Krishna. And she begged, "Oh Krishna, this Ashwatthama has sent a Brahmastra to kill my son. Please save him." So Krishna, by just by sankalp matra, by only his mere desire, he could have saved Parikshit. But he is so bhakta vatsal that he want to protect himself. So he himself entered inside and he was circumambulating Parikshit. With an gada he was protecting Maharaj Parikshit. So when Parikshit in the womb, he saw that some personality is going around me. So he was, when he came out of the womb of his mother, he started looking, who is that person? And that's why, since he was doing a kind of parikshan or a research, he was named as Parikshit. So this Parikshit, his father could have told him that this Parikshit is such a great personality, but out of ignorance, this child gave a curse to Maharaj Parikshit. He told that in 7 days of time, Takshaka, the snake Takshaka, will come and he will burn his body into ashes. So this rishi, he sent his disciple called as Gaurmukh to Maharaj Parikshit to inform. This is in the Mahabharata. That the name of the disciple is in Mahabharata. So he sent his disciple to Maharaj Parikshit informing that you have only 7 days left. So what Parikshit could have did? Parikshit gave up his all kinds of so-called belongings, family, post, position and everything. And he, in a sadhu vesha, he decided that he will go to the banks of Ganges to fulfill the to fulfill the final goal of his life, to achieve the Supreme Person. So when he was going there, when he went there at the bank of the Ganges, at that time, all around the universe, there was a big havoc. The havoc was that Maharaj Parikshit, the great emperor Maharaj Parikshit, is now going to be killed in 7 days. Aray Baba, he was a person who was been saved by Lord Krishna himself and now he is going to die in the 7 days. What is he going to do? So, Maharaj Parikshit, to see the situation, there was SMSs and phones all around the universe. Now we understand we have a phone, we can call right from here to the US, Germany or wherever we want. So at that time the rishis used to communicate through their mind. Like I have to give a message to Prabhuji. So in my mind I can tell that Prabhuji, so we have today you have to give a class somewhere or you have to go there. So or there is some situation. So during that time there was the communication was through mind. So the entire planet was informed that such a havoc has been created. Maharaj Parikshit is in trouble. So out of the excitement to see what is going to happen to Parikshit, everybody came. All of them started coming there. And Maharaj Parikshit started welcoming all of them. Please come, please come, please come, please come. He started welcoming all, gave them an asana, made them to sit, and then he inquired. Then he inquired, What should I do? I have only 7 days left with me. And at that time, Shukdeva Goswami, Virakta Chudamani, he is called as Virakta Chudamani. Virakta Chudamani, Shukdeva Goswami, he appeared there. And all of them, all the great Brahmarshis, all the great Rajarshis, Parshuram, his disciples, and all the big, everybody, even Narada, Vyasa, everybody stood up. Everybody stood up. By seeing a Mahabhagavata, you have to stand up. So they all offer their respects to Shukdeva Goswami. And when Shukdeva Goswami spoke this Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdeva Goswami spoke this Srimad Bhagavatam, which was compiled by Vedavyas, to Maharaj Parikshit. And guess who was sitting in the audience? Vedavyas himself was one of the audience. And his guru, Naraji, also was one of the audience. The compiler of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasji, was so eager to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouths of Shukdeva Goswami that he himself decided that, okay, he will become the audience. He himself sat and want to listen to his son. It is his compilation. But when it is coming from the mouths of the lotus mouth of the Shukdeva Goswami, it has no bounds. It was a nectarian grantha. It was a different. And when Maharaj Parikshit heard this Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit, he started meditating on all the pastimes which he has heard from Shukdeva Goswami. He was doing smaran. And in that smaran, Maharaj Parikshit left the body. And later, this takshak came and burned the body. So who was victorious? Srimad Bhagavat was victorious. He had 7 days left in his life. He took shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Before the curse could act upon him, Maharaj Parikshit perfected his life and went back to Godhead. And only Takshak was only able to burn his dead body. Srimad Bhagavatam was victorious. Curse couldn't do anything to him. Before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, moksha or liberation was considered the goal of life. But this is not the ultimate principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. Moksha is decried in the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma prochita kaita vatra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Vedyam vasta matra shvastu shivadam tapatrayan mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate mahamuni krute kimva parerishvaraha sadyo radaya vrudde atras krutibi susrush bistakshanat. Completely rejecting all the religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in the heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from the illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots all the kinds of three kinds of miseries. This beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam compiled by Vedavyas in its maturity is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? Anyone, now please, this is a most important point. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, by the culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established in the heart. That means if you submissively and eagerly hear if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then Lord Krishna will be bound in your heart. As soon as we develop a desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna is bound in the heart. This is what it says here in 1.1.2. And what is Srimad Bhagavatam? Veda Vyasji has compiled so many literatures, so Vedas, Puranas and so many things, but what is exactly Srimad Bhagavatam? The most important part of a tree is its sweet, juicy fruit. The fruit is the most important part of a tree. We don't go and eat the leaves. We only take the juicy mango fruit which is given by the tree. And so Srimad Bhagavatam has been compared to Salatian fruit of the tree of the Vedic literature. And this Bhagavatam fruit is even more exceptional because it has no skin or pit. In other words, there is nothing to discard in Srimad Bhagavatam. There is nothing to discard. It is complete in itself. Why it is complete in itself? Because it is Krishna himself in the book form. And Krishna is complete, so Srimad Bhagavatam is also complete. There is no difference between Bhagavatam and there is no difference in Bhagavatam and Lord Krishna. There is no difference in the name and the Krishna himself. There is no difference in the deity and the Lord himself. There is no difference between the Srimad Bhagavatam and Lord Krishna himself. So, now we'll proceed towards the shloka. Today's verse is Canto 5th, Chapter 24th, Text 14. There is an important point which Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here. One may, in the purport, one may make his living condition very pleasing for the senses. But despite of all the favorable condition, one must, in the due course of time, meet the death. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an personality personality called as Hiranyakashipu. He was the greatest among all the demons in all the ages, Hiranyakashipu was the greatest of all the demons. There was no demon as biggest as Hiranyakashipu. Nobody can claim that position of Hiranyakashipu. He was such a special demon. We'll hear some of his glories. What kind of a demon he was. Hiranyakashipu wanted to be immortal. He wanted not to be conquered by anyone, not to be attacked by old age and disease, and not to be harassed by any opponent. He wanted to become the absolute ruler of the entire universe. Srila Prabhupada used to often say, lording it over the material nature. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to do that. He wanted to become the king of the entire universe. Only person he wanted to forgive was Lord Brahma. That to up to a certain extent. Rest, he want all the powers of Lord Brahma. And with this desire, he entered into the Mandara mountain and began practicing severe kinds of austerities and performing meditation. And seeing Hiranyakashipu engaged in this austerities, the demigods became very fearful. It was said that when Hiranyakashipu was to open his eyebrows used to go up, the demigod used to get fear. You know what he is going to do next. They used to be in such a fear of Hiranyakashipu. If he used to get up, they used to shiver. If he used to sit, they used to relax. So he created such an awkward situation for the devatas. While Hiranyakashipu was performing this severe and a kind of tapasya which nobody did, Lord Brahma said to him when he appeared in front of him that the kind of tapasya you had did, Hiranyakashipu, nobody, na bhuto na bhavishyati, neither in the past anyone had did, neither in the future anyone will do. Such kind of tapasya you had did. So I have to give you what you want. I have to give you what you want, what you desire. So when Hiranyakashipu was meditating, a heat, a kind of fire, a blazing fire came out from his body. And it troubled the whole of the 14 lokas. And all the devatas, they flew from their planets. They couldn't stay. If somebody's house was caught on fire, he cannot stay in the house. So because of Hiranyakashipu's great tapasya, meditation, his house was on fire. Their houses were on fire. So everybody, Maharloka, Janaloka, Atala, everybody, all the 14 lokas, they went to Lord Brahma, saying, please, be kind, Baba, he is doing a tapasya. He'll burn the whole universe to ashes. Now please be kind, please be merciful, and give him what he wants. But they also told him the intention. The devatas, when they went there, they told him, please be careful. Please remember that we are there in your ministry. So please do not take our jobs. Please see that you keep our jobs and then you give the boon to Hiranyakashipu. So upon hearing the purpose, the Lord Brahma, accompanied by the great sage Bhrigu and the great personalities like Daksha, went to the Hiranyakashipu. And when Brahmaji saw Hiranyakashipu, how was he? He was not visible. Brahmaji thought that there was only bones left. That too it was covered with the anthill. Nothing was left. But still, Brahmaji was surprised how he is still maintaining his body. Brahmaji was surprised. There is nothing left in his body. But still he was alive and Om Brahmane Namaha. It was coming out. So Brahmaji, in his commandal, he had some Ganges water. So he sprinkled this Ganges water in Hiranyakashipu, and immediately Hiranyakashipu was become youthful and very young. So Hiranyakashipu started offering his obeisances again and again. He was the king of the Daityas, and he was offering his obeisances to Brahmaji. And he convinced Brahmaji, are you happy with my tapasya? He said, yes, I am very much, Baba, nobody can do tapasya like you. Then please give me what I want. So Brahmaji asked, what do you want? He prayed, I shall not be killed by any living entities. Not should I be killed in any place, covered or uncovered. I shall not die in day, I shall not die in the night. Not to be killed by any weapon on the land or in air. Not to be killed by any human being, animal, demigod, and any other living entity. He further prayed for the supremacy of the entire universe, and he also prayed that I want all kind of siddhis I want. Agima, lagima, everything I want. Please give me everything. Please make me second Brahma. In short, indirectly he was telling me, please make me second Brahma. Directly, how can he say, oh Brahmaji, I also want to become Brahma. So you please step down from your post. No, he didn't say this. He said, you just relax and I will do all your work. Give me all the powers. I will become the father of the universe. So when Hiranyakashipu, got all these boons, Brahmaji kyo tatastu, he got all the boons from Lord Brahma. So he started to show his strength and he captured the whole universe. But as Srila Prabhupada is saying, death is certain for everybody. By Lord's grace, he was such a demon that he stopped all kinds of worships to Lord Vishnu. And he installed his duties. He himself used to go and install his duties. And he used to ask everybody that worship me. And all the sacrifices, all kind of sacrifices he told should be only meant for me. He says, I am the enjoyer of everything. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram, I am that. I took that post from Vishnu. So I am bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. I am the Maheshwar. So please worship me. And yes, he was like that. Did the demigods were fearful? Shani, the biggest demigods, Lord Shiva and Brahmaji, they didn't interrupt. In short, somewhere it is said that they used to send him gifts. They used to send him some kind of gifts to encourage him, because they were all waiting for Prahlad Maharaj to appear. And then as the time passed, by the will of the Lord, the great devotee, Mahajan, Mahabhagwat, Bhakt Prahlad became his son, he appeared from his wife. So Prahlad Maharaj, right from the beginning, when Hiranyakashipu went for doing tapasya to convince Lord Shiva, that time his wife was pregnant, and Indra attacked his kingdom and took away his wife with a desire to kill Prahlad. But Narad Muni interrupted and says, he said to Indra, even if you want to, you cannot kill this boy. Why? He is a Mahabhagavat. He is a very dear devotee of the Supreme Lord. And you have no power, Indra, you are just a demigod. You have no power to kill a Mahabhagavata. A pure devotee cannot be killed by any kinds of weapons or this all things. Narada was telling to Indra. And so Indra, he circumambulated the Prahlad Maharaj, and then he allowed Narada to take Prahlad's mother. And then Narada gave him the instructions of Bhagavat Tattva. He explained Bhagavat Tattva, and Prahlad Maharaj heard it in the womb. And then what happened? Prahlad Maharaj was completely opposite to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was installing his own deities everywhere and establishing his own supremacy, and here Prahlad in his own house was establishing the supremacy of Lord Hari. He was always seeing the glories of Lord Hari. And what happened? Hiranyakashipu's enviousness increased, and he started troubling Prahlad. He tried all kinds of things to kill Prahlad, but what happened? Nothing happened to Prahlad. Prahlad escaped. And finally, when Hiranyakashipu himself decided to kill Prahlad Maharaj, at that time, only for Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Krishna incarnated as Narasimhadev. Only for Prahlad Maharaj, just to protect Prahlad Maharaj, Lord took a special kind of avatar. He could have did by Sankalp Shakti, he could have killed Hiranyakashipu by anyways. But he himself wanted to protect Prahlad, and so he appeared. And he protected Prahlad. Prabhupada is making the point here that they try to make their living conditions very comfortable, but they cannot check the death. Hiranyakashipu tried all the efforts. He took all the efforts to make his life comfortable, happy, free from miseries. And he tried to do that. He thought he was successful. But no. Lord personally appeared and killed him. And keeping all the conditions which Brahmaji has kept, fulfilling all the boons of Brahmaji, he killed Hiranyakashipu. So this is the situation of the demons. On the other hand, if we see the life of Dhruva Maharaj, at a very early age, Dhruva Maharaj was affected by the insult done by his mother Suruchi, and he decided to go to the forest for getting a position which is higher than Lord Brahma. Here also Dhruva wanted a position higher than Lord Brahma. It might seem that this is also demonic nature, because the demons here, Hiranyakashipu, the biggest demon, he also had a similar plan. But here he was against Lord Vishnu, and here Dhruva wanted this particular post position from Lord Vishnu. There is a big, huge difference. Lord when the Lord appeared in front of Dhruva, when the Lord appeared in front of Dhruva, and when Dhruva saw the lotus feet of Supreme Lord, at that time Dhruva thought to himself, "I was looking for some pieces of glass, but I have got the lotus feet of the Lord. I do not want anything else." But it might seem that now the Lord has appeared and Lord has did a, some kind of brainwash to Dhruva, that now he has given his own charan kamal to him, so it will be a kind of brainwash. So Lord fulfilled his desire. He gave him the kingdom of the earth Dhruva Maharaj ruled this earth for 36,000 years. 36,000 years Dhruva ruled. And also, Lord made Dhruva Loka very special. Dhruva Loka is non-different than Vaikuntha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that this is like Shvetadip, this is like Mathura Dwarka. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes like that. So this is like Vaikuntha itself. So, and here Hiranyakashipu, he died, he was killed by the Lord. And here, when Dhruva was about to go to the Vaikuntha lands, when Dhruva was in the forest performing, doing his tapasya, at that time, a plane came from Vaikuntha with the two associates of the Lord. And at that time, when Dhruva circumambulated the plane, he offered all his pranams to the rishis of Naimisharan, Badrika Ashram. And when he was about to board the plane, at that time, death came there. And Dhruva Maharaj, death came, it was asking to, "Please Dhruva, give up this body and then you can enter." And Dhruva Maharaj put his feet on the head of the death and he jumped on the Vaikuntha plane. This is the difference. This is the difference. So if we have any kind of desire or no desire, akama sarva kamava moksha kama udarati trivena bhakti yogena yajat purusham param. A person who has a broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desires or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the personality of Godhead. Now what does Krishna, when somebody is doing devotional service and when he is coming to Lord Krishna asking for a material thing, Krishna is saying, "Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishay sukh, amrit chhadi vishay mage ye bada murkh." Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of the material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up the ambrosia for drinking poison. That's why Lord Hari, he gave him his own charan kamal, lotus feet. He gave him attachment. He gave Dhruva attachment towards his lotus feet. And because of this, when Dhruva develops this love of God, Dhruva, the desire within him to get a position which is higher than Brahma was dissolved. Lord Krishna further says, "Ami vigya yehi murkha vishaya kena diba, swacharanamrit diya vishaya bhulaiba." Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool the material prosperity and instead I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget the illusory material enjoyment. So Lord is very kind to us. Even if in our process of sadhana, even if we develop some material desires, we should make a point that we only take shelter, we take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Hari. There is no means in going and hankering to the demigods or any other personality for that purpose. Because Lord Krishna, he will give us that particular thing in the form of prasad. Why? Because he is our ever well-wisher. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Jai Shri Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, this is comment about Sanatan Goswami. Okay. Today is disappearance day.
Okay.
He's one of the six acharyas. So when Sanatan Goswami is such a personality, where dhira dhira jana priya karo, even adhiras, materialists, and those who are a godly quality person, they both are concerning Sanatan Goswami. If there is any some dispute in the village, so they go to Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami is such a nice, like you can say, Krishna's devotee, that even materialistic people also attracted by his devotional godly qualities. When he passed away, that time it is said that all the villagers, they shaven their heads. And even I heard that on this particular day, because of Sanatan Goswami, he was circumnavigating Govardhan Parikrama. So on his, to pay them tributes to his glories, people are of that near around Vrindavan areas, person, Rajavasis, they circumnavigate to this Govardhan Parikrama. So that was Sanatan Goswami.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.
Is a Vedic dharma considered as Sanatan dharma or Bhagavat dharma as Sanatan dharma?
Bhagavat dharma is Vedic dharma. How?
Vedic means based upon four Veda, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, that type of religion.
So Bhagavatam is a fruit of the Vedas. So it is the essence. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki.